To Joshua chapter 6. Joshua chapter 6. Yeshua. Yeshua means Jesus. So this is Jesus. Let's see if you can find me a piece of chalk somewhere. This is one of the most vivid stories in the Old Testament. It's one of the key stories. And it marks symbolically or typologically or as a shadow of the new age, of the new covenant. It marks the start of the Christian life or the beginning point of not salvation but of sanctification. If you want to know about sanctification, how it begins, study Jericho. Now, there's many other things you could study as well, but this is vividly so. This is meant to be so. This is not only getting a new heart coming out of Egypt, but in coming into the land, which is applying that new heart to your own soul, God becoming Lord not only of the people, but now also to bring them into the land. In other words, that you bring salvation in such a way that you begin to take the whole land. And it does not take place at once. You get out of Egypt like that. But to take the promised land, they do it what they call by stages. He said, I'm not going to give you the whole land. I mean, in one sense, after they took Jericho, the whole land lay before them and there was no more formidable enemies. They had the whole land. Once they took Jericho, that was it. And in your life, you must have a Jericho where once you get that battle, now this is not salvation now, but once you get a battle over a certain sin, let's call it, you know, a kind of a major battle in your life, and you get that first victory under your belt, you may stumble and fall from then on, as Israel did too. But you've got the confidence that even though I didn't take it all, I know I can. It encourages you. And the first battle is the worst battle. This is the hardest, roughest battle. This is the most formidable foe. If you can beat Jericho, you can beat anything. In other words, that first battle in your new life, if you learn how to get the victory once over Satan, you can defeat him every time, even though you may not. In fact, you probably will not, but you could. And it's enough to encourage you, especially after you fall a few times. It's good to have that first one. Remember, well, you know, I remember when I first became a Christian that certain things left. You know, I fought a great battle and, you know, I was able to conquer Christ in me and I was able to go on. So Yeshua, Jesus, Joshua, is able to not only born us again, but he's able to lead us in to this new land, to this new walk. All right. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. Now you see, we've got a battle in the form here. Battle is forming. There's two armies. One is Jericho. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, now this is before anything has happened, so this is going to be a faith thing. See, he says, I don't see anything. I have given into thine hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. Now, he had done nothing, but God always likes faith, doesn't he? So he says to him, even before you've gone anywhere, see, I've given you everything. This, in specific, you'll get the city, you'll get the king, you'll get the mighty men. You know, now that's the Lord. The Lord loves to do that. That is so extravagant. Because Jericho was, here's the Mediterranean Sea, here's Egypt down here, here's the Nile River, and Saudi Arabia and everything. And then here's Mount Sinai, and they're marching around, wandering for 40 years. And they finally come, here's the Dead Sea, here's the Jordan River, and here's the Sea of Galilee. They finally come to the land, and they try to get in very way, and they can't get in, and this is the way to get in, right here. And they go up through Jericho. And here's Jerusalem and so on. Now, if they can't take Jericho, they might as well give it up. Because that is the key city. And Jericho had these incredibly high walls. You know, these great big walls. And the whole thing was, you know, was impregnable. You couldn't get in, you know. And so this terrific city built up on a hill, built what they call a tell, had these tremendously high walls, very thick. So you notice they're high, they're thick, and another thing is they're ancient. Now, that's the kind of strongholds that Satan has against us. And they're formidable. And there are strongholds in our life that are high, they're hard to get over, and they're thick. You can't just, you know, push them over. They're not easy to get rid of. And they're ancient strongholds. You know, they're not only ancient in your own life, but they probably go back generations in your family, right? All right? Now, the children of Israel have to cross the Jordan. Here they are. They're coming over, and there's a big host of them. And these people hear about them, and they say to themselves, we couldn't defeat those Israelites. There's no way we can defeat them. But we've got one thing going for us, and that's that we've got high, thick, ancient walls, and nobody has defeated us. These walls have stood. And our doors, you know, they're double and triple. They used to have all these double and triple doors and so on. They're thick and they're strong, so no problem. We'll easily, you know, all you have to do is station a few men up here on top of these walls, and you can have thousands, in fact, millions down here, and it won't do any good. They'll not break through. Now, Israel had an overwhelming force. They had this tremendous army. But how do you break those walls down? You know, little bows and arrows, bing, you know, they don't do anything against those walls. So that's the human trying to break down something like that. It doesn't work. When you and the devil are fighting, the devil's going to win. I mean, if that's all you got is you and the devil, he'll win. So how do you defeat this flesh stronghold, this carnal stronghold that will open up the whole land? Because if you get this, the reputation will be mighty. But if you lose that, then you might as well give it up, because everyone's going to be strengthened to defeat you. If you don't take this one, then you can say you're a Christian, but no one's going to believe you. You know, you can say, I believe in Jesus, but if you can't get any victories, you begin to wonder. And the strongholds get stronger. They just fasten themselves against you. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus thou shalt do 6 days. Well, so far, that's a pretty good strategy. Maybe showing them, you know, all of our armor and everything like that, like the Russians do on May Day. You know, the Russians always have a May Day parade and so on. You know, that will impress the world. That will impress the flesh. I'll just go around saying, I am saved by Jesus. Jesus loves me, you know. And I'll just display my armor, and the flesh will just get scared. I mean, you know, if I just keep it up. I'm a Christian, hallelujah. You know, I just keep myself kind of built up. That will impress them. Well, that sounds like a good idea, but that's not what God had in mind. You know, so listen what God had in mind. Thou shalt do 6 days, and 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. Good, we're going to have a lot of noise. You know, that's always good. You know, like the Indians, woo, 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 woo. You know, you're going to have a lot of noise, and you know, it's going to be a real impressive affair, you know, bugles and all the whole thing. And the 7th day you shall compass the city 7 times, and the priest shall blow with the trumpet. So far it sounds good. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down. Oh, you can't mean this. Now, wait a minute, let's go back again. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, when you shall hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, that's all right, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. That's impossible. That's incredible. That just because you have a bunch of people out here who all of a sudden make a big yell, the walls will fall down. You know, sin, come out! You know, and you know, they ain't gonna do anything. Anger, go! You know, they don't fall that way, you know. It's a dumb idea. It's another one of the God's ideas here. You know, this one is not gonna work, but it's even sillier when you hear the whole thing. And Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said to them, take up the Ark of the Covenant. Let the 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram horn before the ark of the Lord. And he said to the people, pass on and compass the city, and let him that is armed pass on before the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass, when Joshua had spoken to the people, that the 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of ram horn passed on before the Lord, and blew with the trumpets, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. So that was good, because the ark sort of gives you a little comfort that God's with us, and, you know, we're going to be able to get this victory after all. And the armed men went before the priests that blew the trumpets, and the rearward came after the ark, the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. And Joshua had commanded the people, saying, now here it is, ye shall not shout, nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth, until the day I bid you shout, then ye shall shout. Now, up until now, it was all right. But to say you're not allowed to talk, imagine Jews not talking, for 7 days, marching around that city, you can't shout slogans, you know, up with Israel, or, you know, we'll get you guys, or, you know, none of that. You know, this was very smart of God, not to have them say anything. Because, you know what they would have done as they marched around? They really would have started griping and grumbling. And, you know, what are we doing this for? You know, and that kind of contagion, you know, in a church can destroy it, right? You know, there's an impatience with us when we get on God's program. It isn't always that impressive. You know, why are we marching like this? You know, I just don't see the point of it. You know, what good is this going to do? And it gets sillier. All right. And in verse 11, so the ark of the Lord compassed the city, going about it once, and they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. And Joshua rose early in the morning. The priest took up the ark. Seven priests bearing the seven trumpets, and so on and so on. The Lord went on continually, blew the trumpets, the armed men went before them, the rearward came after the ark of the Lord, the priests going on, the blowing of the trumpets. You know, this is a very boring affair. And the second day, they compassed the city once, returned to the camp. So they did for 6 days. Now, this is really building their faith and their doubt. A great war is going on, not only between the Israelites and the Jerichoites, but the Israelites and themselves. You know, what good is this going to do? You know, day after day, you know, the first day, if you just kind of rush in, sometimes you have an idea from the Lord, if you just kind of do it quick, you know, then if it doesn't work, you don't feel too bad, you know. But if you really give it a lot of thought and a lot of preparation like that, and you really think it over, it gets more ridiculous as the time goes on. You know, God, do you really know what you're doing? You know, for example, shouldn't we, you know, and then you start thinking of all the things you should do and how God really is not very intelligent. It seems to you as time goes on that God's ways are ridiculous. The more you think about it, you know, and God knows this, and He knows what's going on in all their little heads, you know, so He just sends them one time around and then come back into the camp. One time around, come back into the camp, you know, and so they go on. And it came to pass on the seventh time, verse 16, when the priest blew the trumpet and Joshua said to the people, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city, and the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in her house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing. Of course, this gets them in trouble later, lest you make yourselves accursed when you, and so on and so forth. So, verse 20, let's just drop down. So the people shouted when the priest blew the trumpets, and it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat. So that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. All right? And they utterly destroyed, and so on and so forth. All right. Now, this story, you know this story, that I'm not reading it to read it afresh, but just to refresh in your memories, every man was to go straight up into the city as the walls fell down flat. That meant that the whole circumference of that city would fall down. You know, people have tried to explain how it fell down, you know, the reverberations of their feet or some kind of thing, you know. If a mathematician could figure this out. If you get, you know, 300,000 men tramping their feet all in one cadence at the 100 degrees out with the walls 40 feet high, you know, you can probably figure out some kind of a way that, you know, cosmically or something, some kind of mathematical deal, that walls will fall down flat that way. But it's a miracle. That's all there's to it. It's a miracle. I mean, it doesn't matter if there were a way. It's just a miracle. God said to do it, and He did it, and that's what happened. And God always chooses the foolish things to confound the wise. And so don't you dare think, you know, give me an easy city first. He gives you the roughest one first. You know, that's why He said, when Jesus started the church, you know where He said to start witnessing first? In the easiest place? The easiest place would have been Fort Worth. You know, the hardest place is in your hometown with your own folk, especially those that had just killed your leader and who have nothing to do with you. I mean, if anybody hated those Christians, it was the Jews who had just put their leader to death. Start there. Man, that was the worst place of all. But if you could win in Jerusalem, you could win anywhere. And if you could make it where people knew you and would hate you with the keenest hatred, and would you know, they have your number, so to speak. If you can make it in your own hometown, among your own family, that's the hardest place to make it. I tell you, it's much easier to go off to the Philippines, you know, or someplace where they don't know you, you know. And it's a lot easier to go somewhere else. There's not quite the investment. But boy, when you go to someone who knows you, hey, you know, isn't this Jesus the carpenter, you know, son? We know him. And we know his sisters, you know. We know this guy's family. And he couldn't do any miracles in Nazareth because everybody knew him there. Well, so here they come to the hardest battle of all, the first battle, and God guarantees them that they'll take the whole land. And of course, after they take it, it's easy. Then everybody's got faith, you know. It doesn't take any faith when the walls fall down flat. Then it was easy to see they'll be able to win all their victories. But they needed this encouragement in the beginning, so God gave them a very difficult thing. Now here's what I want to do. I want to use this as an illustration of warfare that takes place in your life on a daily basis. Because after they took Jericho, then the next city was Ai, and the next city was, and the next city was, and the next city was, and they took it sort of day by day by day by day, and they were to continually be taking cities. And God said, I'm not going to give you the whole land because you couldn't even mow the lawn. You know, I mean, you're just not even able yet to, so don't worry about being a saint overnight. You know, you're not going to conquer all the sin in your life in one night. You know, so have you noticed that you don't do it that way? You know, you can't. You will only take these sort of one city at a time, and the way you get the first sin, let's call this one fear. It doesn't matter, we'll name it anything you want to name it. But whatever this first city's called, maybe the next one's anger, he will not work the same way in Ai that he does in Jericho. In other words, to get rid of fear, he'll have an entirely different way to get rid of anger. Have you noticed that too? You can't just apply the same thing. Say, now all we do is march around Ai seven times. Let's see, was it seven times? And yeah, he doesn't do it that way. The next time, maybe he sends singers out for la 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 la. You know, and he just do another thing. And you say, it's God again. You know, he's got some other way. I don't see. If I was going to fight anger, now I would go right after that anger, and I'd get angry at that anger, and I'd get that anger down. But God always has some funnier way of doing things. You know. Like sometimes you just say, sit this one out, you know. You're just really ready to fight. You say, now, you know, fear was tough, and we had to really, you know, fight. But I think anger's even going to be harder, you know. And then he'll tell you to sit that one out. You know, he's the funniest God. He wants to do it his own way. Can you see God wants to get the glory himself? And he has a special way for each one of you. No matter how I get rid of fear, you'll have to get rid of it in your own way. There may be some common principles, but the details are what count. Not only the principles, the details are what really make it personal. That God, you know, picks out Rahab and all kinds of things going on here. You don't know. And it's kind of exciting to learn to know the Lord. Now here's the teaching I want to bring tonight. Time spent with God. If you spend time with God, you're going to get to know him. That makes sense. And if you get to know God, you're going to get to know yourself. And if you get to know yourself, you will become a new person every day. You will not be the same person today that you were yesterday. Now you understand how I'm talking. Not in big terms, but in small terms. In other words, every day, today I learned something about God in all this. I learned that he's faithful. I learned that he's wise. I learned that he's powerful. I learned all kinds of things about God. I not only learned something about God, but I also learned something about myself. I learned many things about myself, good and bad. And then when I go on, the next day, Monday, let's say this is Sunday, on Monday, I learned some other things about God. New things that I didn't know before, and I learned some new things about myself. Every day I'm a new person. So we have the habit of saying, oh, I know my sister. I know my brother. We don't know. Because every day with God, you're changed. You're not the person you were the day before. Now, I'm not talking theologically. I'm talking practically, experientially. Don't ever put anybody in a box, especially a Christian. Now, the pagans, you can do that because they don't change. Their spots don't change. Their lives don't change. Pagans don't believe in change, and there isn't any. And the Bible even says it. There's no change. Nothing's new under the sun. But Christians do change, because there's one thing that's new in this world. That's God. God always does a new thing. Every morning, His mercies are fresh. You know, so there's one new thing. Behold, I do a new thing. Well, we're part of that new thing, that new age. But in the old world, nothing's new. Just the same old story. From Adam all the way to, you know, to the end. It's the same old story. But once you get into Jesus, it's always new. It's always new. So that's the one new thing. All right? So every day you could say, experientially, if you spend time with God, you'll get to know Him. And if you get to know Him, know God. Let me erase all this. Spend time with God. Time with God. You'll come to know Him in a new way. Know Him in a new way. Then you'll come to know yourself. Because you can only know yourself as you come to know God. When you come to know God, you come to know yourself. If you know who God is, you know who you are. I won't explain why. Just take my word for it right now. The more you come to know God, like you know that He's faithful, you'll find out that you're not. You see? He's kind, I'm not. You know, that kind of thing. But you'll also find out when you're in Him that as He is faithful, so am I. So you'll learn a lot about yourself. You'll learn that you have a flesh, and you'll learn that you have a spirit. Now, this is what I want to teach you. This is reality. Reality is that you have both. This is found, of course, in Galatians 5, but it's found all over the place. But look, if you want to be real every day, this is what you're going to learn. You're going to learn something about your flesh. We'll call that being honest. And you're going to learn something about your spirit, and we'll call that the truth. Now, I've taught this before, so this is not new. But what I want to teach you now is how to make that work in a real practical way using Jericho as an illustration. Let's have a war every day. Now remember, this is sanctification. In sanctification, we want to put on the armor of God and do warfare, right? This one aspect of the Christian life is that if you don't like wars, you don't want to be a Christian, because Christianity is all about wars. Okay? And a lot of people don't like wars. They just want to have, I just want everything to be peaceful. It won't be peaceful, you know. You're going to be, you know, you have to be a mighty man of God, a mighty woman of God. You're going to be a warrior. I mean, that's what the armor is for. Armor is not for civilians. Right? So a lot of Christians say, you know, I just don't like to confront anyone. I just don't like to have problems and troubles, you know. Well, then, you know, you might as well quit today. Because that's what's before us, is all kinds of strongholds. And you, not somebody else, you must be a warrior. No one can fight for you. You must be a warrior. Don't you like that? Oh, I couldn't do that. You know, we try to be kind in our family and so on and so forth. Well, you can do it. You must do it because that's what it's all about. Jesus is a warrior. Among other things, He is a warrior. And if He's in you, there's going to be war. Because there's an enemy out there that must be defeated. And He comes in through the flesh. This is what must be defeated. First, the inner battle, which is what He did when they marched around and all that. He got the inner battle there. Then the outer battle. When you get the inner battles, you'll get the outer battles. They're not teaching on that, but that's just the truth. All right. Time spent with God, you're going to come to know yourself better. Every day I become real. The temptation is to become unreal. Here's what unreal is. Unreal is either when I'm too spiritual. In other words, I'm lopsided on this side, but not honest. Or I'm too carnal or fleshly, in other words, not truthful. Now that's the temptation every day, is to know yourself wrong. And that's because you don't spend time with God, because if you do, you'll come to know Him. And if you come to know Him, He will reveal that in you, that you have two sides. Now I'm going to illustrate this so you'll understand it perfectly. When you come spend time with God, you'll come to know Him. When you come to know Him, you'll come to know yourself. When you know yourself, you'll become real. When you're real, there's two aspects to it, honesty and truth. And every day, you become, you wage a war and get peace. You wage a war and get peace. You wage a war and get peace. In other words, you actually are going to tear these walls down and you'll establish your flag of peace or victory. You'll get the victory. Until honesty and truth become one. And the only way that can happen is that this dies. Until honesty and truth become the same. Now I'm going to show you how this works. Let's take some examples. Now the first thing we need is two armies. We need Jericho over here. Here's our castle. And we need the army of the living God over here. Here's our people here marching with their spears and banners and so on. Okay. These are the good guys. Okay? These are the bad guys. Now, but remember we want to get the inner victory first. So let's call this our flesh and let's call this our spirit. Okay? And when we get done, we want the wall to fall down. No bad guys, good guys win. So this is simple. It's very easy. And you could use any story in the Bible to do this. But this is the one the Lord gave me. All right? Now, every day I want my new man, this is my new man, to grow, to become stronger. And I want my old man, by degrees, to become defeated and weaker. In other words, city after city after city. So you're just going to take one city at a time. You're going to take one city at a time. It's going to be line upon line, precept upon precept. It's just going to be little by little. The Bible clearly states that. Same in the old as in the new. The old is a type, shadow of the new. All right. Now, how to get this reality into you every day so that you become who you really are? Do you know who you really are? You see, watch me give an illustration. I'm afraid. Is that true?
No.
Okay, now listen. I'm afraid. I am, and then fill in the blank with anything. Afraid. We'll start with fear. Now, is fear good guy or bad guy? Okay, so we'll name fear right now Jericho, whatever it is. I am afraid. Is that honest or true?
Honest.
I honestly feel afraid, and I honestly think that I'm afraid. Okay, now because I think that way, as a man thinketh, so he is, I'll probably start acting that way. You know, and so on. I might cover it for others, but inside I'm going like that. But because it will lead to action. So if I want to defeat the action, I must defeat it here in the thinking and the feeling. In other words, on the inside, so that it results not in, but it results in, you know, praise the Lord and in power and so on. How then can I get the victory? Here's fear. What am I going to do about it? How can I conquer fear? How can I throw down this Jericho? Now, I'm going to show you how to do it because often it's not done right and that's why it doesn't go. But if you'll do it right, which is going to seem wrong, you'll get the victory. It's just as silly as God does everything else, but it works. Okay. Now, the temptation then every day is to favor one side or the other. Either you're going to say, okay, this one says I'm afraid. That's the honesty side. So we'll give a plus over here. But other people might say, I'm a Christian, so I'm not afraid, you know, even though they are. Now that would be a plus over here on this side. But then you're too lopsided because, you know, you can declare all day, I'm the righteousness of Christ, or I'm not afraid because I'm a Christian. But you are, you know, and if you're not, you're lying. If somebody says to me, well, I've never been afraid, or, you know, I'm not afraid of that, you're lying. Because everybody still has a flesh. So it's going to be there. You're always going to have these two sides until the victory's won. Now, I mean, you could say it if the victory was over, but then you would say, you know, hey, I felt afraid, but I looked unto Jesus and so on, and then I got the victory. That's okay. But always set up these two sides here. All right? Now we've got on this side fear. So here we'll put, I feel fearful. I feel fearful. And over here we put down the truth. I'm not afraid. Now you see we got a little war going because who am I? Which one am I? See? Well, if I just say that might just be fibbing to myself. I mean, it's theologically true. I might say, oh, I'm a new man. I'm not afraid. I'm a new man. I'm not afraid.
What about the word?
Huh?
God is not giving me a spirit of fear, but of love.
Yeah, you can quote the word all day long. Lots of people do. It still doesn't take away their fear. I'm not afraid, you know. You see, sometimes you can quote the word and people think it's just going to go away because you quote the word. It doesn't do it. Sometimes it does. But you have to know why, how it works. You have to know how does Jericho fall. And you can't just do, as I said before, what you did at Ai or what you did in some other city. You'll have to learn, you know, how these battles are won. So sometimes that does not work. In fact, sometimes, you know what happens? You quote the word and the fear doesn't go and you become more afraid. And the more you quote it, the more fear you get because it's not working, you know, and it just works the opposite. So it is not a simple thing. So we must understand how does God do this. Okay, so let's use this now and see if we can make it work. Now, the first thing to do is have a nice all-out war. That's the first thing, is don't be afraid of both of these persons. So give both of them credit. You know, make sure you have a flesh. If this guy doesn't show up for battle, you know something's wrong. Somebody's playing a trick. If inside of you, you don't feel anything negative, that might not be fear, but whatever. Now, I'll show you how to do this. You can bring them out very easily. Let's make some things happen. In other words, whichever side comes out first, always fill in the other side. Now, Jesus said it this way. I'm going to fill in the other side for a minute. I'm going to fill in the honesty side because we quoted truth so much. Let me fill in the honesty side. Turn to Mark chapter 7, verse 20. This is what Mark 7:20. Mark 7:20. And Jesus said, that which cometh out of the man, that defiles the man. And I want you to note all these words. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed, count them, evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. How many did you get? Yeah, 13. Okay. All these evil things, now, did he name any good things? Did he say out of the heart of man, this is the natural man, the old man, the flesh man, out of the heart of man comes kindness. No, there's no kindness here. Everything that he named, and he could have gone on, everything that he named was evil. Everything. Now, so don't say, because since you still have this man, there are Jerichos in your life, and there are eyes, and there are other cities beyond you. There's always something there. So whenever you say, whenever you read a Bible verse that says, think of one of fear, perfect love casts out all fear. Let's say that. You read that. Perfect love casts out all fear. Praise the Lord. Immediately your flesh is going to protest. No matter who you are. And if you don't feel it, I'm going to tell you something. It's there anyway. It's there. So you can go ahead and set up the battle. I mean, just force it into being. Because it's there. It's there. So then just simply say, perfect love casts out all fear. Casts out all fear. That's the truth. But I won't experience that until I conquer the inner battle over here, everything that's to the contrary. Everything in me. You see, that Bible verse, Jesus wrote it down in order to pull my flesh out into the open in order to conquer it. He wrote that down knowing that there would be someone who would protest. I protest. You know, I am afraid, or, you know, what about if this would happen, or, you know, and they just start coming up with stuff. You know, as soon as you read it, if you don't take it seriously, if you just say, perfect love casts out all fear, and then just go on, well, then nothing's going to happen. But if you take that seriously, perfect love casts out all fear, God loves me perfectly, I will never be afraid. Boom, you know, immediately thoughts come and emotions come and so on to attack that. And if it didn't do it in the first 5 minutes, it'll you just wait around. It'll do it sooner or later if you kept singing that, especially, and saying that. Sooner or later, you'll get a battle going. All right? It works the other way, too. The other way is this. You start with the fear or the honesty, and you'll come to the truth if you're a Christian. Okay? Let's start with this one. Here's one that I heard recently. Okay, it goes like... No, I'm going to do this one. Here. My old man... This is the truth. My old man is weak, but I'm strong in Christ. But I'm strong in Christ. In other words, I don't have any natural strength. Now that's the truth, isn't it? My old man is weak. He can't do anything. Apart from me, you can do nothing. That kind of thing. But my new man, I'm strong in Jesus. I can do all things through him which strengtheneth me. All right, there's the truth. But you know what will happen often when you say that? Like, my only strength is from Jesus. Someone over here is going to say, I'm strong sometimes. They're just going to say that. Now, that's honest. If you don't let that come out, you're suppressing it. Because there's a guy over here who's going to say just the opposite. Maybe they'll be polite. If you say it real loud, they won't say anything. You know. But they're there. And given the right moment, they'll come out and say, I'm strong. I mean, I don't care what the Bible says. My old man is strong. I'm strong at times. I know I'm stronger than her. She is a weakling. I don't do that. You know, and there's something in you, it's honest, that rebels against that word. So you see, whenever the word comes out, it's light and it draws out the darkness. It draws out the opposite. And so don't be surprised when someone pops up and says, I disagree. You know, I declare war on you. You're wrong. Now, who am I? Am I this or am I that? Of course, it's easy here in church to say this is the real me. But in life, this is so impressive at times that it's hard to see that this is the real me. For example, you know, in loving, you know, sometimes you say, I know I ought to love Marianne, you know, but I just can't stand her. You know, I feel bad about that. I wish I could love her. I've even prayed. I've even fasted for her, but I don't like her. I mean, just in all honesty, she's irritating, you know. She used to be my friend, but... You know, ever since that day, you know, so on and so forth. And, you know, that's honest. Hey, don't be shocked by that. Don't be surprised by that. That's just your old man. That's just Jericho. That can fall. I've tried. I don't believe it will fall. Yes, it will. Now, first of all, then, we have to establish the opposite. You know, namely, now, and you'll have to find scriptures for this, because it's always it is written that's going to do it. In that sense, you're right. But here over here, I say, I can't love... Or I can't forgive Marianne, whoever. And over here you put down Romans 5:5, for example. Romans 5:5 says, the love of God, the agape love of God, is spread abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Now, I love Marianne from my spirit, my heart, because the love of God is spread abroad. I mean, it covers everything, in other words. It's not just pushed in a little corner, a little bit of love. You just spread abroad, you know. You spread it all out like, I don't know, fertilizer or something. I couldn't think of any good examples. So, you know, it's spread abroad, meaning it's spread out, covers the whole thing. The love of God permeates my whole being, my whole heart. Now, my heart loves and forgives Marianne. Now, you see how that, if this is true, what a difference it'll make in my action. If this is true, what a difference it'll make in my action. Can't you see that my will is confused between the two? Which one is true? Who am I? Every day in prayer, when I spend time with God, I get to know Him. When I get to know Him in His Word, I'll get to know myself. Why? Because the honesty will come out or the truth will come out. Either way, I'll read a truth and honesty will come out. I'll feel something honest and truth will come out. If I spend time with God. You see how you're always setting up a war? When you spend time with God, this is what happens every day in my closet. This is what happens. I come to know who I am in a way that I've never known before. You see, I don't know how proud I am. I knew last week I was proud, and, you know, I got rid of that. But I didn't know tomorrow morning I'd have some more, you know. I mean, I didn't know that. I might know that intellectually, but experientially, until tomorrow morning, I won't know how much pride is in me. But I'll learn there's a whole new dimension of pride that I didn't even see the day before, you see? But as I come to know God and He's humble, I'll come to know Him and I'll come to know that I'm proud. Now, that will always be there every time. Don't ever say it will never not be there. It always is there. There's always going to be a battle. And the opposite is also true because I've got a new spirit which is always there, never goes away. Now, the only thing is, who's going to win? That's the only thing is, am I going to conquer? Is this really greater than this? Is my spirit greater than my flesh? Can every time I throw down Jericho or Ai or whatever city it is? Answer, yes. Answer, yes. Every time. And that makes it exciting to look, doesn't it? Because then I'm never impressed by honesty. Honesty means nothing. Now, modern psychology makes a great deal out of honesty. And many Christians hide from honesty. You know, they don't really spend a lot of time with God. A lot of people won't spend time with God because they know they got sin in their life and they don't want to see it. And a lot of Christians who put on a facade or a show, they really don't want to know. They don't want to get that close to God. They want to just close enough so you know they're a Christian, but not so close that God will get a hold of them. And they don't want to hear certain verses. They want to hear just certain other verses. You know, like there's a group of people who only want to hear the verses that don't condemn. You know, I mean, a verse that might condemn you or something like that. Like say, do something. Oh, I don't want to hear that verse. I'll feel condemned. You know what I'm saying? You know, there's no condemnation. That's the only verse they want to know. There's no condemnation. Well, that's a good verse. Praise the Lord. But there are other verses, you know, besides that one. And in fact, in that very chapter, it talks about, you know, doing something. It talks about accomplishing things and so on. So there's no condemnation for the person, but there is condemnation for the deed. So you say, there's no condemnation. You sinned. Yeah, but there's no condemnation. Of course there is. Not for the person, but yes for the deed. That must go. And that deed, that fruit, that abundance of the heart spoke out of the mouth and came into the body, that came from something. And that anger was in, not in the heart now, but in the soul. That anger, that Jericho was really there. The land is mine. God said it's all mine. But I got to take it now. God is not going to take it. I can't pray, oh God, make Jericho fall down. And they stood on the other side of the Jordan and Jericho fell down. No. You got to go in there and take that land. You got to actually have a confrontation with it. You see how the word works? I'm making it simple and practical. But every day you can do this. Now, let's see if we can take some examples, maybe that you have, of an area in your life where you can't overthrow, where you've had difficulty overthrowing something. And just see if we can't set up the war. Now the fear is, if I set it up, God will be at a disadvantage. You know, if I ever see what my honesty is, I don't think the Word can do it, because I've tried and it doesn't work. You know, I've fought I and it didn't fall. You know, and so a lot of times we're afraid to set the battle up. But I'm letting you know right now, every place where you put your foot, you will get if you're clean. You'll get the outer battle if you get the inner battle. And there's nothing preventing you from getting the inner battle all the time. You can always get it. Always. And that's going to take time with God. You remember what he said to Joshua in the first chapter? He said, learn the secret of Moses. If you want to be with my people, learn to meditate day in and day out. Don't let this law pass from your mouth. In other words, stay in the Word. Because if you try to do this thing without the Word, you won't make it. You've got to have the Word. The Word does it all. But this Word is powerful. Now, a lot of us are afraid that our sinful man is more powerful than the Word. We say, I know what the Word says, but you don't understand how strong this thing is in me. Don't we say things like that? You see, you're not saying, hey, set up the battle. Let's see how big that guy is. Oh, it's big. I mean, it's not only in my life, it's been in my family for 3 or 4 generations. Fine. Ancient walls, yeah. I mean, it's high. I can't get over it. Yeah, I see. And it's thick. It's real, you know. I mean, you're not the first guy that's tried, you know. Hey, a lot of people have worked on me. I've been to Tom Skinner. I've been to Billy Graham, you know. You know, I've won to, you know, it's one. This thing is, you can't just, don't, you know. No, look, let's bring it out. Everything will fall. The Word of God is so powerful that it can, all the walls will fall down flat like that when you obey the Lord, when you do it right, when you bring it out. So let's see if we have some here.
Do you mind if I ask one question?
Please? Sure.
Once you set up a battle between the good, the truth, and the honesty,
Right.
And you say it. It's, let's just say the bad comes in first, and then you counteract it with the words that are da, 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 da.
Right.
All right, so let's use fear as an example.
Okay.
When you get fear, you say, well, I don't fear because God gave me a love power and strong mind.
Right.
Right. And it just doesn't go. You still have the same feelings. You still know the word. You know, it, you say, and you just said earlier that, you know, just confessing it
won't do it. No.
All right, now, then what's the difference between, I know, is, well, once you're there, where do you go?
Right.
You've said it. You know it. You've read it.
Right.
You still have.
Excellent. Right. Okay, that's a good question. All right. If this word comes to you, it must be a rhema. It can't just be a general logos word that you pick out of the Bible. Now, there's nothing wrong with picking out a general logos word, and it might be the word of the Lord. I mean, you know, don't look for a rhema, you know. I mean, you know, don't get too spiritual on this. But on the other hand, don't just pick a Bible verse and stand on it. Because it might not be the verse. You see, if you tried to fight Jericho the same way you do another city and so on, you're going to miss the Lord. The Lord sometimes has interesting ways that he goes about it. He might give you a verse way back in Genesis, and you were looking for a verse on fear, and you looked up all the verses on fear, but he might use a verse on something else. He might tell you about Hezekiah's sword. Hezekiah's sword, you know. What does this have to do with? But, you know, you don't know the Lord. That's why I say spend time. Okay. Sooner or later. Now, I know and you know that the first day you pray about a thing, you may not get the victory. We both know that. But don't panic. I mean, the idea is that will fall sooner or later. And you may mess up because after Jericho, they did mess up in the next city because there was sin, the sin of Achan. And they did mess up in a bunch of cities. So there are many things in your life you won't get like that. But if you persevere and if you remember the secret, spend time with God, meditating on Him, coming to know Him in His Word, you'll get them. I guarantee it. I know it. What happens is when people bog down, they stop spending time with God and they stop spending time in the Word, at least quality type of time. They, because they're no longer in love, they no longer praise, they're not really in the presence of God. They might say, okay, here's my prayer time now. You know, but that there's no joy, there's no presence. You know, it's really a pretty dry thing. You understand? So, but when you're really in love with God, in love with His Word, and you have your salvation, the helmet of salvation on, the breastplate of righteousness, and you know, sword, and when you've got all that together, you're going to get the victories. And always what the devil wants to do is get you distracted if he can. But if you'll do this, you'll get it. So, this is the secret right here. Spend time with God. Come to know Him. If you know God, you'll come to know yourself. But I'm just explaining what happens when I say you know yourself. This is how. And you'll just learn to appreciate how great God is. How He could find out some things in your life that you never knew could be found out. Every word in this book, it says, we live by every word, pantalogos, that proceeds, and that's in the aorist tense in the Greek, which means is always coming out of the mouth of God. It says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that is constantly coming out of the mouth of God. Not just the Bible words, but every word that is living, that's alive, coming out of the mouth of God. That means I want to know everything God says, not only in the Bible, but I just want to always be listening to God, because that's my life. That's my very life. Now, this is how it happens. I spend time with Him, and I hear Him afresh each day, and He will show me what sin He's working on. I might want to go on to this other city over here, which is just four people in it. And I think, you know, God, after Jericho, give me one with four people in it, you know. But he might, or I might want to go to one with 10,000 people. I think, boy, if I took Jericho, I could, you know. And God knows what city you have to go to next. He knows, I might think I'm going to work on drinking. Or I might think I'm going to work on critical spirit. Or I might think I'm going to work on impatience. But that isn't the issue. You have to know what city He's going to next. Because He's not going to give you a victory over here at drinking or self-pity or anger or impatience. He's going to give you a victory where He's going to give you the victory. You've got to spend time with Him to know where you're going next. You got to get all the rules. Sometimes they have singers come out. Sometimes they have dancers come out, you know. Sometimes they take the ark. Sometimes you sit in your tents. Sometimes, you know, there's so many ways. There's no way you could know. There is no, you can't find a principle for this. There is no way to know except to know the Lord. So you see, you can't escape it. You're going to get to know the Lord when you take the land. You will know Him. When you're done, you're going to know Him. Does this help you? Let's use an example before we have any more teaching, because I want you to see how it works in your life. Do you have an example?
Can I describe
Now, just a simple one.
Smoking.
This is hypothetical.
Yes, certainly. You said it really exactly.
Yeah, okay. All right. Smoking is going to be here. Now, you have to tell the truth here. I like smoking. You know, that usually goes under the mask, I wish I could get rid of it. That is a mask. You see, that is not true. You see, the way the devil always tries to hide all these kinds of sins is, you know, I don't really like that, or it's not really, I hate that, I wish I could get rid of it. That's not true. See, that's this over here, but only this has to be absolutely truthful. I love this, I hate God. I hate God, and I want to smoke and defy Him and be a rebel. Now see, that's how to make it come out in the light. But we don't like to put it in those terms, that's why we never get a battle going. Over here, and you know, you have to make it even stronger than that. I'm just giving a hint of how to do it. See, you can always go for the worst, and you're going to be right on target. If you have anything by degrees better, you haven't hit it yet. It's as abominable, every sin is as abominable in the eyes of God as every other. I tell you the truth, every sin put Jesus on the tree. Every sin that you commit, there is no little sins in that sense. In other words, sin is sin. Flesh is flesh. So, when as abominable as you can see any sin, it is. Then you say, well, at least I don't have that sin over there. It's just the same. Every sin put him on the tree. You understand that? That does not make sense. I'm just telling you how the Bible has black and white pictures on this. It's either black, you're totally against God, or you're white, you're totally for God. 100%. You cannot be 99% for God. You cannot be 83% against God. You're 100% for, you can only love God or mammon, God or the flesh. You understand that? That's the way to set up the war. Jericho on this side, Israel on this side. Good guys, bad guys, black, white, light, dark. All right. Over here, I love the Lord with all my heart, and I have no desire for smoking whatsoever. That is not me. That's the truth. Now, how will you get the victory in this? First of all, set it up correctly. Set up the, you know, get the walls built high and get the thing established so there's plenty of power on this side. Elijah had to help out the other guys. He had to dig a trench around his, and he did everything he could to give the devil as much opportunity. In other words, let the devil come out in all of his truth, as much as he's got. You know, he said to him, well, come on, maybe your God's sleeping. You know, maybe, you know, and he tried to make him come out, because you have to get this out in order to get the victory over it. God will never get a victory in the darkness. Bring it out into the light. But when you see it for all that it is, you know, and the only way you can do that is as it keeps being revealed. This doesn't often come out immediately. It takes a while, maybe 7 days, you might say, to size up the situation. How deep is this? God will have to continually reveal how deep these walls are as you're walking around, you know, seven times, you know. You're checking over that thing to see how deep it is, so you don't just say, yeah, there's Jericho. That's impressive. But bring it out, and then God will give you a rhema. This must happen. This will happen. If you spend time with God and obey Him to the fullest of your knowledge and keep these two together, no one getting the victory at first, then God will give you a rhema and it'll be broken. I'm sure that's what happened to Neil. But you don't win anything. You just simply leave it. And all of a sudden, bang. You know which one's going to win, but you don't know how. You don't know what sector. I mean, how it's going to actually take place. God gives a revelation and it's gone. And you realize, hey, the reason I've been smoking all these years, and suddenly he shows you the whole thing. Why? And you're released from it. Or he just simply shows you, hey, that's not me. And it's gone. Just like that. Everything, and I'm not talking about just you put it away or you stop doing it. It's broken. That only comes from a revelation. See, many people reform. We're not talking about reformation. You know, I haven't touched a drink for 3 weeks, you know, or I haven't smoked a pack for 2 days. That's not, we're talking about absolutely crucifying that. The only way you can do it is have an all-out war. Hold up the God of cigarettes, that's one God you worship, and hold up the living God. The flesh hates God, that's why it does all this. Praise the Lord. Well, it's time to close. So, you can do this. Do you understand a little bit how to do it? Whenever you have an honest statement on the one hand, you feel afraid. Say to yourself, I feel afraid, but I'm not afraid. When you feel discouraged, I feel discouraged, but I'm not discouraged. You feel insignificant. I feel insignificant, but I'm not insignificant. Unworthiness. I feel unworthy. I feel like nobody thinks I'm worth anything, but I am worth everything. You see how you must bring the contrast out? The Bible on the one side, my feelings and thoughts on the other side, until they're in stark contrast. And put them into stark, you know, force them to be so, because that's the truth. That is reality. When you get both of those together, you come to know yourself. Ooh, I'm a lot worse than I thought. Oh, praise the Lord, things are a lot better than I thought. And God will get a victory out of that. I tell you, He will. Gina? Oh, sure. Right. But right. But I would say you're probably going to get most of these in the closet, not, you know, in the midst of life. Although it is possible that the revelation could come quickly and it's all over with. I mean, but I'll bet you did the work in the closet somewhere. Because they usually don't just come like that. There's usually a real battle that goes on. You don't get many victories just by walking into them. Usually, it isn't just a revelation. Usually there's a real battle that goes on prior to it to set up the armies. You see, God won every battle, not with prolonged armies. I don't think you can find a battle where God had a prolonged fight. He always wins like that. All He wants to do is see how big Goliath is. See how many prophets Baal has. See how high the walls are. You know, God just sets him up and then wipes him out that quickly. Every story is that way. Every story. Jesus at the cross. They're all that way. And the same in your life. Set them up and you'll see God will give you the victory like that. But there may be only the preparation is to set them up, to see how big that enemy really is. Get the walls big. You know, add trenches to yours. Whatever it takes, make sure the contrast is big, because God only does the impossible. If you think a sin is easy to get rid of, then you are sadly mistaken. They are all impossible. Every city is impossible. It takes a miracle of God to deliver you from the smallest and the biggest sin. Jericho is just as hard as every other city, and it's just as easy as every other city when you're with God. The secret is being with God.
And take one at a time.
Right. Yeah, but they often lead to others because there's often a whole school of them. You know, that was probably... That was one city with a lot of towers. But that anyway, I'm just trying to encourage you to go on the Holy Spirit. Let's stop here because of time, and you can come up afterward if you want to share. Okay. Father God, we love You so much, and we thank You that You have given us power to gain a victory every single time. Wherever we put our foot, we will prevail. We will prosper. We will get the victory over our inner man. And that's the one that counts. Because when we get those inner victories, when we learn to conquer our soul, even as You have conquered our spirits, we will learn to conquer our world. And we thank You, Lord God, that You start in small ways, step by step, and that You never give us anything that's too big to handle, and there's nothing in our life that's too much. If we're not getting the victory, we either don't understand or we're at the wrong place. But there's a reason, whatever it is. But we will get victory after victory after victory. Town after town after town, sin after sin after sin, Malachite, all the kites that are in the land. We're going to conquer every single thing. We can do it because You have given us that power. And You want it so that You can get on with a new work. After we conquer all the Amalekites and Girgashites and every other ites, we've got to build a temple. When the peace has been wrought, then we've got temples to build. And there's more, and there's more, and there's more. And we've got to get beyond our sins so that we can get on to the work of bearing fruit, planting the fields, and running the new government, and setting up the throne, and winning the lost, and many, many other things. So we thank You, Lord God, that as we begin to engage every day and learn who we are afresh, anew, by learning to know You, spending time with You, that we will conquer every single thing in our lives until at length we are brought to the day of Jesus Christ, hearing the words, "Well done." We love You, Jesus. In Your blessed, holy, and wondrous name, amen.